one can tell you the news.
Look, Diamond is hooked.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up, and it's going to be a face without the book.
Without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia, and the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama, and that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
October 2019, the Michael Hart Show is live again here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Check us out online if you have not already done so at Heart, H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net. This program is dedicated to bringing you the news of the day through the prism of the past, or at least that's our intention, where we delve back into history, whether it's 100 years ago or 100 hours ago, and try to make some sense of the news through the prism of the last, well, history. Phones are, when they're open, 929-477-3761. That's 929-477-3761. This broadcast brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. For more information on the book that started it all, go to theunknownamerica.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at Michael Hart Show. Again, the last name is spelled H-A-R-T, and of course, Heart of America on our YouTube channel. Haven't gotten a whole lot up on the YouTube channel the last couple of weeks, but working on a bunch of different stuff, trying to get the final formatting done on Unknown America for Kids, which will be out almost any day now. We'll be making that announcement as well. This is the Is America Ready for Obama? The sequel edition. Washington insiders are reporting that Democrat Party officials are urging the former First Lady, Shelley, to enter the race. They see Joe Biden's campaign in a free fall, with polling and donations dropping. They're panicked that Elizabeth Warren grows more inevitable by the day. Warren, they think, is way too liberal to win a national election. And with more and more of America's corporate elite lining up to suggest that they would sue the federal government to prohibit Warren from breaking up their companies, whether they be monopolies or not, as well as the threats from Warren against several industries, including, the big tech industry. And also, we'll be breaking a little bit more of that down, plus the news of the day, trending calls, and so much more. All of this compliments of our friends over at LibertyOneTech.com for all your cybersecurity needs, your websites, your tech support. So go over to Liberty, the number one, tech.com. And of course, our friends at the Land Report, Alabama Water Management, for those of you that are in the central Alabama region, and a lot of private donations that help keep us on the air. And if you want to support what we're doing here on this broadcast and on this platform, please consider going over to Heart of America. It's H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net. Click on that Patreon link and help a brother out, will you? Because we're trying to grow this thing as much as we can. Been a little quiet the last couple of weeks because we've been up against some pretty significant deadlines on getting things out. And I almost went live yesterday, but I've gotten to the point with this broadcast, because we were only together about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes at a time, that I wanted to make it destination radio, if you will, content rich, where we're not just constantly repeating and droning and droning and droning on about the same old, same old. There hasn't really been a whole lot of new stuff to report and talk about. As the impeachment of Donald Trump continues to chug along, we do have some more insights into that today. This, of course, over the whole Ukraine scandal debacle. Also, some interesting comments from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez related to prisons. Elizabeth Warren, and this is another reason why she is such a concern to many on the left, and her comments about justices, in this case, judges, owning private equity positions in publicly traded companies, and so much more. And then, you know, the other day there was a story that came out about the woman at the AOC rally screaming that it was time to eat babies as a way to, well, stem the tide of global warming. And it seemed to have caught Alexandria a bit off guard. This is one of the things that I've gotten a little bit frustrated with in terms of taking it to air. Because if you look at social media and you listen to people that are tweeting and they're posting and they're commenting and they're calling talk radio programs, etc. This woman at this AOC rally screaming it's time to start eating the babies has gotten a lot of people in the right just all up in arms and the consternation and the vitriol. And the woman's likely trolling AOC. The idea was it was a parody to get the attention of AOC in this case. And we knew that going in. The moment we saw it, we knew it. But there's a lot of people in social media in particular that took it at face value and took it as factual. This is the kind of stuff that I have become personally very frustrated with, and to the point where I'm just not even willing to deal with it. Because the level of ignorance and insanity that is ruling the day is just absolutely positively mind-numbing to me. And with that said, that would seem like the perfect segue into this tweet from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that is promoting the idea of the prison abolition. That's right. She's called for a real conversation. This is a quote, by the way, about the decarnation and prison abolition in this country, adding that, quote, a cage is a cage and a human doesn't belong in them. The reason I don't deal with stories like the baby eater is because I have dedicated and put my reputation on the line to only bring things out that are factual. Now, you might not believe they're factual, and that's okay. I mean, you're entitled to your ignorance because fat, drunk, and stupid is, well, fat, drunk, stupid, and liberal is no way to go through life, but that call is on you. But in the case of prison abolition, this, in fact, well, it was, in fact, truthful. It's absolutely insane on so many different levels, and it makes me wonder if she's almost creating a parody of herself. Because she's now defended her call for a potential prison abolition as part of a broader restructuring of the criminal justice system. Now, this was in a series of tweets that came out yesterday. In one, she wrote, mass incarceration is our American reality. In a system whose logic evolved from the same lineage as Jim Crow, there it is, because there's no white people in prison. No. American apartheid. And slavery. She wrote in reaction to a tweet from Chelsea Handler, of all people, to end it, we have to change. That means we need to have a real conversation. You know, I never really understood when we're talking about a conversation about immigration, a conversation about gun control, a conversation about prison abolition, who's having that conversation? I mean, inquiring minds want to know. Is this like the politicians that work for us? Is it us at our town halls, our rallies, our churches, and our picnics and football games? Who's conversing about these things? It's just another one of those little catchphrases that politicians love to throw out there. But we need to have a real conversation about decarnation and prison abolition in this country. Now, let me stop right there. As far as the prison system, the judicial system in this country is concerned, does it need an overhaul? Yeah, it does. As part of my, well, the early days anyway, when I was becoming a speaker and I was first getting into the business of speaking professionally, the start of that career or the start of that endeavor actually got me involved in an organization called Toastmasters International. And many of you, I'm sure, have heard of it. Great, great, great organization. Probably one of the best investments you can ever make in your life. But in my years in Toastmasters, I became the state of Alabama, or at least the district that I represented, which was much of the state, became their director of public relations, and I moved on through the ranks, the hierarchy, the political side of the organization. But this also gave me the opportunity to go into Alabama-based prisons and do speaking events. I would literally go in and do motivational talks and ended up becoming a pen pal even with several of these guys that were lifers in some case. The reason I'm sharing that with you is I have spent time, you know, where I wasn't there in a mandatory sense, but I've spent time in prisons speaking to these groups. And there are a lot of people that are languishing in United States prisons to this day, this very day, that really and truly have no business being there. And I'm not necessarily speaking of their innocence, but I am speaking of the extent of their crimes. In addition to that, there needs to be some thought given to and perhaps some overhauling of the way the justice system works when it relates to minorities. And I'm not speaking of minorities in the sense of necessarily color as much as I am socioeconomic status or the ability to defend oneself, because there is no parity in terms of the way people end up behind bars, and that's just the way that it is. You can believe that or not, I don't really care. But the point is that the need for an overhaul of the prison system is indeed a legitimate discussion. But the elimination of prisons altogether because people don't belong in cages, well, let me tell you something there, old Alexandria, some people do. Some people that you work for do. Some people that you're intimate with do. She called, he recalled a conversation that she had with a woman who was thrown into Rikers Island as a teenager and was put into solitary confinement for months. This is another thing that irritates me about politicians. This parading out of these individual or these anomaly stories, because we can find a story of unfairness and deceit and unjust all day long to pretty much defend almost any single position in this country. It's part and parcel of living in the land of the free and the ability to be able to have freedom of movement and freedom to screw your life up tremendously if you so choose. But my patience, and the Republicans do it too. Trump does it. Bush did it. Clinton, they all do it. And then there's John, the coal miner from West Virginia, who has 9 kids and a wife who can't work because she's addicted to Days of Our Lives. John lost his health care because he quit his job. But John lost his health. You know how they just, and then they go on with these idiotic example after example after example. And that's what Ocasio-Cortez is doing here. And then we're back to the conditions are so bad. She had drank out of toilets. What? Uh-huh. The woman. She's speaking of the woman in Rikers. Remember how we were drinking out of toilets in the detention centers? There's all kinds of toilet drinking going on, apparently all across the land. And it has gotten to the point where it is driving a false narrative. And because of the false narrative, and I'm just going to be straight up with you, because of the false narrative, I have really and truly, it's been occurring for a while, but lost my patience and are losing it with trying to rise above the din. Some weeks ago, and I was very moved by this, I had a TV host on the West Coast interviewing me, and she made a comment to the effect that she didn't understand why I was not more visible on the national media scene, because she really liked what I had to say, and I was making some very good points in her opinion. Those of you that listen to me for any length of time might agree with that. Those of you that don't or hate my guts because I'm a Christian conservative, wouldn't agree with it at all. But I made the comment back to her. This wasn't live, by the way. This was in a series of emails. That I made the comment back to her was, I'm not more visible or more popular than I am because I'm not willing to step to the depths that a lot of people that are the talking heads, right and left, are willing to step into, i.e. eating babies is a story that's legitimate when it's not. Because that's where the narrative has gone in this country. We no longer value truth. We no longer value accuracy. for us, it's just a matter of whatever we can sell, whatever we feel like is going to be praiseworthy or noteworthy from the media. I've been telling you this for the longest period of time, that the media is lying to you. And they really and truly are. And there's a lot of media on the right that's not only lying, but they might not even know they're lying. And I know what I said. I said on the right. Or they don't go in depth enough. Or the thing that drives me completely batty, and another reason why I've kind of pared back doing this every single solitary day, is the redundancy. Because when we are so redundant with falsehoods, they become our truth. They become our reality. And so that's what we're seeing out of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. In the larger sense, we're also seeing it with the impeachment hearings, or at least the investigations going back and forth and back and forth. People don't pay any attention to history. They don't pay any attention to reality. They don't want to know the truth. I saw a thing yesterday, and I couldn't believe I was seeing this. I mean, it was mind-numbing to me, and I'm just going to get it off my chest. And I don't really recall where I saw it. It was online somewhere, but it was a forum for African-American women. And the woman who was speaking was making the case that African-American women are overweight because of racism. And I'm being serious about this. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, what? And so it captivated me. And essentially the argument was, and which is a true statement, was that stress not only causes disease, but when you have stresses in your life or stressors in your life, it might have negative impacts on your diet, the way things interact in your body. Maybe it gives you headaches or... there's a myriad of different things that can take place. This woman's argument was that so many women in the African-American community are overweight, and a lot of these women in this audience were healthy, because of the stressors that they're feeling with Donald Trump in office. No, I'm being serious, or at least they are. And then there was another thing that I saw a couple of days ago about some of the school systems in this country reporting behavioral issues with some of their younger children, because these children are so freaked out that the world's going to end in 10 years. And then you've got this Greta Thunberg, who delivered a speech, I believe it was in Norway, that was a speech that was delivered 15 years ago by another young lady that was brainwashed. The same speech. But people don't want to pay attention to that. And so the Michael Harts of the world don't rise above the din. We've gotten to a place in this country where we cherish lying to ourselves. I feel like I'm seeing a diminishment, and yes, I'm malapropping, a diminishment of our ability to cope in this country. We have a whole cadre of politicians, some elected, some running, who are in the business of scaring the ever-living hell out of people. But our journalists, our media, our school systems, are not calling them on the carpet about these things. And so they continue to spread lies and intellectual malfeasance for the purposes of scaring people to the voting booths. Now, we've had crazy before. AOC, in my opinion, is not as crazy as Cynthia McKinney from Georgia was, or her father. Crazy districts for the crazy people that are undereducated typically vote and elect crazy politicians. But there's something different this time around. '16, '17, '19, etc. We're seeing something vastly different. It's hard to put my finger on it, but it is what's giving us the narratives of, well, number one, do it away with the prisons. And I want you to consider for just a moment when this woman who is trolling are the eating of babies. And Ocasio-Cortez was a bit taken aback. You can see the expression on her face. How many people in this country thought this chick was being, like, for real? That's where we've become. That's where we have arrived at, where we no longer know what the hell is truthful. Where everything is now being having to be vetted out. And yet, how do you vet out the news when the news, the people who actually report it, don't vet it? This is one of the reasons. And I don't know if it's going to be permanent or not, but it's one of the reasons where I have turned my attention back to my writing and speaking, public speaking. This is one of the reasons that the Unknown America Project exists. And I'm going to say something to you that, I hope is not offensive, but it might be, particularly if you've got youngsters in the room. And you guys that have been listening to me for any length of time know that I'm not prone to profanity in public. I'm not going to say I don't use it privately, but the people that are running this country today and those that desire to do so are full of shit. Are we clear? I mean, have I left any room for doubt about what I think about them? Now we're going to have a legitimate conversation about not incarcerating people that have committed heinous crimes because you don't put people in cages. We are talking about the complete eradication of the prison system. People such as AOC that have the intellectual maturity of a 10-year-old, a 10-year-old that's frightened she's going to die in 10 years because the world's going to melt. This woman has not matured beyond those years, and this is the reason she spews these things. This is the reason that we have global warming. It's the reason that we have black women that are overweight because of racism. Children drinking out of toilets on U.S. soil. She went on to say, I know the term prison abolition is breaking some people's brains. The right is already freaking out. Yet the U.S. incarcerates more than anywhere in the world. We have more than enough room to close many of our prisons and explore just alternatives to incarceration. I am not arguing the fact that we do not have prison overcrowding and that indeed there are nonviolent offenders that probably should not be residing in such facilities. And yes, the U.S. does incarcerate more people than some countries, because in many of them, especially the more theocratic nations, they don't incarcerate, they execute. And what does the term breaking some people's brains even mean? Interestingly enough, the idiocracy from the left, come with me on this. This might get a little bit dicey, a little bit in the weeds. The idiocracy on the left is so palpable, so thorough, so insidious, so efficiently effective that the Democrat Party, in part, joined by the U.S. mainstream media and the U.S. education system, have dumbed people down to the point where this is a legitimate concern. Obesity in the black community because of Donald Trump, and we can go on, but I won't waste our time. And then they wonder why they cannot get more vibrant support for their impeachment initiatives. You see, people are not intellectually mature enough or knowledgeable to understand what they're even talking about. I have a friend of mine. He has a radio program, and he posted something on Facebook the other day, and they were getting into the impeachment discussion, and it got nasty, and I don't engage in these Facebook discussions because, first off, I value my time much more than that, and I definitely don't want to argue with idiots. But some woman was posting on there about the impeachment of Donald Trump, and then made the comment, and I'm paraphrasing, what do you mean Donald Trump can get impeached and still run for office? And the conversation deteriorated from there. I thought about responding to that, but then I thought, why bother? Because you can't suffer fools and you can't fix ignorance. But that's where we are. And then by the time I got down a little bit further into this particular thread, the debate, it degenerated into some real severe name calling. You know, we're taught that you don't use the N-word if you're a white person. Well, you don't use the C-word if you're a man person. That's how disgusting it got. And I have no time or patience for that. But that's where we are in this country. Because there are people out there that think if we impeach Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton becomes president. Or that it was a special election. Even if he's removed from office, none of those things happen. But that's where we are in a world where, quote, secondly, our prison and jail system is so large because we use them as de facto mental hospitals, homeless shelters, and detox centers. She goes on to speak about not just the mental health centers, but how we're parking Americans there that are undesirable. Almost the exact same argument about detention centers to our south. She continued, lastly, people tend to say, what do you do with all the violent people? Our lawmaking process means we come to solutions together. And either way, we should work to end where our prison system is dramatically smaller than it is today. And again, I don't argue the point that there needs to be an overhaul. But this is the kind of idiocracy that is ruling the day. And then you have people such as Elizabeth Warren. She rolls out a plan just yesterday that would ban federal judges from owning or trading individual stocks. It's to restore trust in the judiciary. What the living hell does that have to do with trust? Oh, my God, I got a judge that owns some Apple stock. She went on to say it's time to ensure that judges do not hear cases where they have conflicts of interest, strengthen our nation's ethics rules for judges, and ensure accountability for judges who violate these rules. Did you know that if you are an elected member of Congress, and in such capacity, you are privy to information that got Ivan Boesky put in prison. If you don't know the name, Google it. Michael Milken, if you don't know the name, Google it. You are privy to information as an elected member of Congress from the stock market, and you trade on that information. And you gain from that trading. That's legal, and it is. We had a congressman right here in the state of Alabama, came back worth tens of millions of dollars, but he also happened to sit on the House Banking Committee. How did he go off making 179 grand a year, come back 10 years later worth tens of millions of dollars? Because as his position on the House Banking Committee, he was privy to information that others would not have been privy to. But the courts had already ruled there's no way to prevent that from happening. And we do not have the legal right to punish him for doing his job where he's going to be exposed to this. So not only is the member of Congress allowed to trade on that information, their staff is as well. So while Elizabeth Warren is pointing the finger at judges, why is she not pointing her finger at House members and senators? Because it's the double standard of ignorance. It's the high drama of low intellect. But man, it sounds good as a plan, because we're going to restore integrity to the justice system. Not just by closing prisons down across the land, but by preventing judges from taking equity positions in General Electric. And so it goes, and so it continues. The unabated onslaught against capitalism and free market economics in this nation. Luckily, enough people are not buying it. Luckily, there's enough voters seeing through it. Unfortunately, there's still a huge swath that does not. And fortunately for us, the people that are buying that tripe are not as likely to vote as others. This has caused some concern for those in the Democratic hierarchy. It has caused some people's polling numbers to plummet. As Joe Biden's plummets and Elizabeth Warren gains steam, Democrats are becoming more and more fearful that she might be the nominee, despite the fact that she is attacking some of the very organizations that would likely be the biggest contributors. Some of the biggest Democrat contributors in this country have said point blank, if Warren is the nominee, we will either not vote or we'll vote for Trump. This has the Democrat hierarchy shaking in its boots. So what's the solution? According to some insiders in D.C., Michelle Obama is the solution. Will she run? Could she win? We'll break it down on the other side. You're listening to The Michael Hart Show right here on the Heart of America Talk Radio Network. Of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America Myths and Little Known Oddities about the greatest nation on earth explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out
the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support.
Don't you hate it when your computer is running slow? Did you know that could be a sign of viruses, spyware, or Trojan horses giving hackers access to your private data? Do not let your identity be stolen. Do not let your private documents be made public. Do not let a hacker hold your family photos hostage. Do let the industry-leading security experts at Liberty One Tech ensure that your computer and network are safe. Liberty One Tech will also help secure your online accounts to keep hackers out and make sure you never lose access. It's all free when you join the Talk Text Plus service. With Talk Text Plus, you have unlimited VIP access to expert technology help 7 days a week so that you can always make the right click. Sign up today and get the free security checkup at libertyonetech.com. That's Liberty, the number one, tech.com.
The Land Report, the magazine for the American landowner, is a proud supporter of the Michael Hart Show. Currently, they're offering an exclusive subscription price for listeners of the Michael Hart Show. So click on the subscribe button on landreport.com and enter the code HARTSHOW at checkout and receive a 1-year discount on America's number one land magazine. You'll get a full year of the Land Report, which normally goes for $59, for only $15. That's a 75% savings off the cover price. Again, that's promo code HARTSHOW at checkout of thelandreport.com, and make sure to check out The Land Report on Facebook if you love land.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Network, just talking about all the BS going on in the world around us today. And has that caught the Democrats off guard as they continue to malign this country? Are they beginning to feel the heat of Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, on the heels of the idiocracy of some of their statements, accompanied by those primarily in the House of Representatives, but then again, the whole Ukraine Donald Trump impeachment investigation? Are they about to throw the towel in and just pick Shelley? Some on the inside say that's exactly what's coming, because what they're doing up to this point, it ain't working, and they know it. 929-477-3761 is the number for you, and let's talk to our good friend Clark. Hello, Clark. How are you?
Hey, Michael. You doing all right?
Pretty good. Pretty good, my friend.
That's good enough most of the time. So the Eat the Babies lady was an undercover agent for the LaRouche Society or something?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, we say that she was trolling AOC and whatnot, but you think about this, Michael. You and I are both old enough to remember Lyndon LaRouche coming on TV.
Yeah.
And back in the day when he came on TV, he was crazy. But, Michael, if he came on today, he'd be a voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how far it's gone. Now, we listen to this woman screaming, we have to eat the babies, and we think that sounds crazy. I think that's a preview of things to come. We think it's crazy now, but you look at what we take for granted now and what we would have thought was crazy 10 years ago. And it's kind of scary when you think about it, isn't it?
No, it's absolutely scary. I mean, that's kind of kind of where I'm going with this today, Clark, and the fact that so many people out there, you know, they're buying this stuff. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, I don't watch these programs, you know, very often about, you know, punking people or, you know, the candid camera kind of stuff. But it's gotten real easy in this country to punk people on the left and the right. And the funny thing is, the only people that really understand what's going on, and I mean, and I'm being very serious about this, and I'm including the Hannitys of the world, the whole nine yards. The only people that really understand what's going on in this country today are people like you and others that listen to this program that consume this stuff. And I don't know about you, but if I read an article of any sort whatsoever, and there's a word in that article that I'm not up to speed on, I will stop right there and get a dictionary out. The same thing applies to when you read something or hear something that doesn't make sense. People like you and, you know, my friend up in Huntsville, Bev Ann, and other people that I know that pay attention to the program, you will stop right there and start doing your interrogatories. Most Americans don't do that, and they fall at face value of what they're being told. And this is a big problem in this country. And then you start throwing things in there like the elimination of prisons and eating babies, and you got this whole cadre of people out there going, I knew it. Racism and dieting, they don't go together. I just knew it.
Well, they talk about not going down rabbit holes, Michael. And my experience has been they hide the best stuff in the rabbit holes, so you need to look in them. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Hey, can we do the Syrian pullout thing for just a minute?
Sure.
Okay. So I think, number one, the anti-Trump people, whichever side they may be on, are largely counting on our ignorance of who the Kurds are. And we talk about the Kurds, and it's not the Kurds. It's the Kurds, they're Syrian Kurds. There's Iraqi Kurds, the Turkish Kurds. We acknowledge that they're terrorists, but, you know, I don't know. You could make the argument that one person's terrorist and another freedom fighter. The Syrian Kurds, they have a different agenda, and the Iraqi Kurds, they have one entirely separate from the other two groups. So there's a lot more in play there than most people are going to understand, but that's not really where I want to go. You know, America sends 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and they're men, but they're kids now. I mean, because I was an 18-year-old kid that went overseas, and I'm not 18 anymore, and I have a different perspective, okay? But we send these people overseas. Some of them come home, some of them don't. Some of them come home whole, some of them don't. A lot of sacrifices are made. And the only thing that I think these people, myself, et cetera, would ask is that if we send people somewhere and they're going to make these sacrifices, it's something that is, in fact, in the best interest of the United States of America. And, Michael, we've left a lot of people in different places where I can't figure out how it was in the best interest of the United States. You know, 241 died right at 36 years ago in Beirut. And I still haven't figured out why we went there, Michael. I can't for the life of me figure out where it was in the best interest of the United States for us to be there doing what we were doing. And, I you know, let's just send people places where it's going to make a difference and it benefits the United States. And if that's not there, you know, hey, I'm glad the Kurds helped us. I am. I don't think we should totally abandon them. But, you know, when Donald Trump says that he's going to do this through economic threats, you look at what he's done to some other countries, I don't think you want to play that game with him. And that's just where I'm going with that. It's just, if we're going to send people places, let's do it in the best interest of the United States of America. We're losing really, really good people. And here's what people don't think about. We lost their kids. What impacts would they have made on the United States?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When I listen to them going on about this, I don't hear any consideration for that side of this. I have yet to hear a politician besides Donald Trump say anything about not wanting to lose American lives in these places.
Well, you know, during the Civil War, and I forgot who made the comment, but, you know, one of the very first conscription acts in this country or drafts occurred during the Civil War. And as you are aware, as a historian yourself, Clark, you know, you could buy somebody to take your place. You could pay your way out, which prompted one soldier to say, rich man's war, poor man's fight. And we still see an awful lot of that in this country today. And this, it also harkens back to what Trump is trying to do for the nation and the Make America Great Again movement. Because you are right. And I don't want to go all deep state and start talking about the military industrial complex, but there is an awful lot that we engage in that we don't need to engage in. And I share a lot of the viewpoints of Ron Paul. You know, I've interviewed him in the past, although it's been years, and I understand his position. I'm not a real big Rand Paul fan, but Ron Paul was very, very, very right about things as it relates to getting involved in international skirmishes, et cetera. But you're right about putting America and her best interests first, because you know something? There's nothing more securing in the world than a strong, unified, economically stable United States. And there are people on the left in particular that cannot grasp that concept.
Well, I have no problem with us having gone to Iraq. I have a problem with us having stayed in Iraq. You know, whoever in the State Department thought that we were ever going to establish some kind of democracy there and make that a cohesive country had no understanding of, we call it a country, but I mean, it's, yes, there's a border, but they don't, you know, the people that live there, by and large, don't think of themselves as one people or a country. And
It's tribal land, and we can't get our heads around that.
And we're not going to go there and establish a national identity for them. You know, if it's not already there, we're not going to make them have it. The same thing with Afghanistan. I had no problem with going to Afghanistan, but go there, take care of the problem, and if you want to, put up a billboard. We're leaving. If you aggravate us again, we'll come back.
But, well, you know, one of the problems that I think you have in this world, Clark, is that the Western portion of the world, as we commonly refer to as the West, is New Testament. The Middle East is Old Testament. And even in the Bible, those two things, you know, it's like people refer to the Lord as the man that split time. And people cannot get their heads around the fact that we have got a New Testament mindset doing battle with an Old Testament theocracy. And you have politicians, again, can you imagine a full-scale conflict in that region with Elizabeth Warren as president and the squad being the dominant party in the House of Representatives? That's what keeps me awake at night.
Yeah, that's doom on us. Hey, let me shift radically real quick, and then I'm going to have to get back after it. On our current Ukrainian collusion impeachment hoax, and then you look back at the Russian collusion thing. You got the CIA, the FBI, the Russian one. You got the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, the DNI, the DNC. Who am I leaving out, Michael? Surely to goodness I haven't given credit to everybody involved in this. And then the one we've got going on now, we've at least got a CIA officer who's involved in it. So, you know, our intel community is involved in both of these things pretty heavily, right?
Right.
And it's bad enough from a moral standpoint that we've got the intel community trying to depose a duly elected president of the United States. But here's an aspect that nobody's talked about here so far. How am I supposed to have any faith and confidence in our intelligence community's ability to carry on foreign intrigues, incite coups in countries that are enemies of the United States, topple despotic regimes when they can't successfully mount a domestic operation to remove our own president. We need better spies. I mean, gee.
Yeah. I know.
We ain't got no game.
It's the damnedest thing.
Well, I mean, it's no wonder Fidel Castro died of old age. You know?
Yeah.
I swear.
Good point.
Anyway, Michael, they got to have my next thing ready for me to do. I better get back after it. I'll keep listening.
All right. Thanks, Clark.
Take care.
You too. As I was saying, and as Clark more or less reiterated, it's a mess. Now, I know there's food on the table and the cell phone's all charged up and the Bachelorette and the Voice are back in season. SNL's come back live. I get it. Maybe your football team's kicking a little A. Maybe if you're me, you got your backside bruised by yours. But life is good, ain't it? Well, comparatively speaking, it's damn good. Because most people don't concern themselves. Bread and circuses. That's all it is. His comment about Lyndon LaRouche, the political activist, and things that he might have uttered 10, 15 years ago, being taken to such an extreme, being the norm today, he's right. And what's scary is that the young people don't see how far we've fallen, how far we've moved away, how much these things would impact them. No prisons. Are you freaking kidding me? The Democrats don't know what to do. And so now Washington insiders are reporting that Democrat Party officials are urging Michelle Obama to enter the race. They see Joe Biden's campaign in a free fall. Polling's dropping. Donations are dropping. They're panicked that Elizabeth Warren grows more inevitable by the day. Warren, they think, is way too liberal to win a national election, and they're correct. You know, we on the right have got to pony up to one truth. Not everybody on the left is whack. Not everybody on the left, or not every Democrat, is a hyper lefty. There are some throwbacks to the olden days. Now, the Democrat Party has definitely been co-opted, but they're not as left as a lot of people think. Every time you've seen an event for Biden or Beto O'Rourke or Kamala Harris, her one last week, she screamed out, "Y'all ready for a Kamala Harris presidency?" And the crowd chanted no at her own event. That was funny right there. I don't care who you are. It really happened. But everybody that you see at these events, they're youngsters. And they're definitely politically young. And because of that, it creates the illusion that there is support that is there that doesn't exist. Now, you think about this for a second. It's so bad that the left leadership that's now been co-opted by the Squad and others is looking to Michelle Obama as the moderate choice. That's insane. Now, according to Gallup, Shelley is the most admired woman in America, according to a survey by YouGov, she's the most admired woman in the world. So it is very tempting for the DNC operatives to look for a new super candidate. The Democrat herd is thinned. There's nobody in the DNC currently running as a 2020 hopeful. That's a lock to beat President Trump. We keep getting these asinine polls like Joe Biden leading Trump in Wisconsin by 9. Well, first off, it's Wisconsin. But nationwide, polling numbers are dropping, donations are dropping. And now some of the biggest Democrat donors in the country are saying, you nominate Warren and we're out. So the Democrat apparatus is putting heat on Michelle Obama to take the mantle. And if they choose, if they go after her and she chooses to run, she will get it. I'm not saying she'll get it because she's popular. I'm just saying she'll win. That's with a little W, by the way. And I'm speaking of the nomination. Not a chance in the world the DNC is going to allow an Elizabeth Warren to take the nomination over a Michelle Obama. Biden's money raising is just pathetic. He raised $15 million in the third quarter, but that's $10 million behind Elizabeth Warren, according to Real Clear Politics. Biden is trending downward like a stock you don't want to own. And of course, his problems mounted when the Democrats jumped into a full impeachment stance. And that's going to get a lot deeper because we're learning almost every day about, it seems like every politician in D.C., right or left, that has any import or influence, their brats are on the board of some Chinese or Russian firm. The whole Biden case in particular is going to blow wide open. Interestingly enough, there's not, outside of the whole Pocahontas thing, there's not a whole lot on Elizabeth Warren. So what she needs to do is stop releasing plans, especially idiotic ones like the federal judges owning stocks, and keep her mouth shut. Because the more she does that, the more momentum is coming behind the possibility of Michelle Obama entering the race. Warren is barreling ahead, and much to the dismay of moderate Democrats, as we pointed out, they do in fact exist. Some have been reported to say we admire her zeal, but worry her far-left agenda, she cannot win a national election. Warren's appeal in polling is strong among women, college-educated whites, and young people. But according to several polls, she has yet to bring minority voters on board. Yep. She also recently rolled out a lengthy pro-union program aimed at attracting blue-collar workers. But her embracing Medicare for All and the Green New Deal has not won over the important Democrat sector that is so supportive of it. So, would Shelley run? Would she win? Well, she's got pretty going on. Reportedly, she signed book deals worth $60 million. Her high 10-figure contract to help Netflix produce films. They recently bought their new house in Martha's Vineyard. As we reported, we have doubts about global warming just because of that, because the oceans are going to rise and so just, I don't know, swallow their $15 million pad. It's hard to estimate their net worth, but it's reported to be somewhere between about $50 million and $130 million. So would she give it up? She says no. She has twice declared publicly that she would not run. She knows that a campaign against Trump would be ugly. There are past gaffes of her own that would dog her, like her comment, "For the first time in my adult life, I'm really proud of my country." She'll also then get scrutinized for her Princeton thesis, and her kids will be back on the national stage. And then there's the Sanders effect. Of course, Hillary Clinton blames Sanders, amongst others, everybody for that matter, for her loss. But then again, Sanders supporters are PO'd because they feel like they got cheated out of a victory by Hillary Clinton. The same would be true in 2020 should the party try and end run, only this time it will be both Sanders' army and Warren fans that will be furious. Combined, these progressives are attracting 41% of Democrat primary voters. But here brings us back to the money. If we have a Warren, or even for that matter, a Sanders, the large Democrat donors say they won't play along, economically speaking. There's also some baggage from Barack Obama. Numerous candidates have blasted his TPP deal and even the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Their concern is that the Obama name does not carry much weight. Maybe that's because Democrats now concede that the former president demolished the party under his leadership. Democrats lost 18 governorships, 816 state legislative seats, 12 seats in the Senate, 64 seats in the House, and Obama left the party politically and financially bankrupt. But the question arises, is Michelle's popularity so overwhelming, particularly with some key demographics, that people would either overlook President Obama's failings, forgive them if they even knew about them at all? Would they be successful in painting Donald Trump as a bully, a misogynistic bully? And he would be bullying. All of these things would have to be taken into consideration. But then you also have to make the comparison between Michelle Obama and the rest of the field. I do not see anybody in the current slate of 2020s that can beat Donald Trump. The media has been successful in creating the illusion that the left can win. But if the turnout is there, the electoral numbers for a Democrat victory are not. Republicans are pissed off. Democrats are seething. But when you're angry about what's happening to your country and you feel like you have canonized a hero to correct the path, the support for Trump is there and it's vibrant. Is Michelle Obama willing to stand and step into that melee? Well, I would certainly be doubtful. But there's something about the fact that I somehow just have my doubts that the former president of the United States would not love a shot at getting back into the game. For those of you that remember your history and you're old enough to remember the 10 years of Alabama Governor George Wallace, when he termed out, his wife Lurleen ran and won successfully. Everybody knew who was really running the show in the state at that time. It cleared him for another run after he'd had the break from his potential third term. I have made the comment in the past, and I stand by it, that Barack Obama was not only not the most powerful man in the world, he was not the most powerful man in Chicago, because presidents have handlers. This time it appears that is not the case. But a successful Michelle Obama victory would make Barack Obama a handler, the first gentleman. And although Michelle Obama might be reveling in her newfound superior wealth, influence, and beach houses, when you have a narcissistic, self-centered husband, desirous to change the world and mold it into his own vision while simultaneously trying to salvage his legacy, it makes one wonder about the possibilities, the very real possibility that if the Democrat hierarchy has its way, because you have to ask yourself this question as well, considering the power of the Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omars and AOCs of the world, who would be the one 2020 candidate most likely to be successful in shutting that bunch up? I can only think of one name, and I think you would agree. You're listening to the Michael Hart Show right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Until next time, we'll talk to you then.
Hola boy,
oh my god.
Hola boy, BK boy. This thing is credit, but it's debit. Hit that shorty once and I'll forget it. Big boss, you better recognize. Might go Rick Ross with the curly fries. Sippin' Hennessy or dirty Sprite.
I'll be back.